Don't believe me, believe God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Just believe the word of God this morning. It says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. And here's why. He said, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? How many want a new thing today? How many say, I want something new today? Then you got to let the former go. You got to do what the word says. Let's get excited this morning, because we're not going to remember the former things, nor consider the things of old, because we want what? New things. I want it. Amen. I want it. I want to see God's hand moving in your life, in my life, in this church's life. And I believe we can stand on the word of God to make that happen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to thank Lisa and Fran, while everybody is here, for opening their house, their home, the refrigerator, everything they had to us for 2.5 days while we were without power, while we were without water. We didn't miss a thing because we were with them and we had such a good time. I got to watch Fran play golf. I'm so excited about it. And we just had a beautiful time. That's what family does. Amen. And I want to thank them.
Fran didn't get much sleep, so he's dragging.
Let's stand up and pray together this morning. Hallelujah. We're talking to God. You're talking to our Father in heaven. You're talking to who is going to hear you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this day. I'm going to forget the things of the past because I want new things. I want to be surrounded by you. I want you to fill the void with the things that we forget. I want you to fill that void, to fill my life with better things. I want to stand stronger. And the only way to do that is draw closer. It's that simple. To hear your voice, to feel your spirit lead us, to know that you are the miracle worker in our lives who can do more than we can do for ourselves. We just need to get out of the way and allow God. We need to get out of our comfort zone. Yes. Get out from what we think we know so God can do new things. So today is the start. We're letting go of the old, and we're going to receive the word today. We're going to sing praises. We're going to read the word of God, and we're going to enjoy each other's company today the way the Bible tells us we should. In Jesus' name I pray we do. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
God can and will do mighty things in your life if you get out of your comfort zone and let him. If you get out of what you think and let God do the thinking for you. Remember that, I'll do the thinning around here, Baba Louie. Just let God do the thinning for you. Not the sinning, but the thinning. Because you all want new things. I know you do. I know you're praying for things. I need to tell you again, God hears your prayer. Say that with me. God hears your prayer. No matter what age you are, no matter how old you are, he hears your prayers, James. He does, and he answers. And you have to be ready for those answers, and you have to be prepared, so you have to know that voice. You have to give your heart to him in a way every day that you didn't think possible. And the miracles. How many are believers this morning? I'm a believer. This Bible we have is one of the greatest history books of all time. Can you say that with me? Of all time. Remember Muhammad Ali, he was the greatest fighter of all time. He might have been. This book is a history book. It tells you stories. Tells you things about life. Why, how, and how did it happen? In this book, in chapter 10 of Genesis, it talks about Noah. Anybody remember Noah? He was in the ark. He had three boys. So chapter 10 talks about Noah's children and their children and their grandchildren and how they spread out all over that area, all over the world and their area. Those grandchildren became descendants, Hebrews, Chaldeans, Assyrians, Persians, Syrians, Canaanites. They became Egyptians, Philistines, Hittites, Amorites, Greeks, and Scythians. These are all these countries, all these people were populated from Noah's sons and grandsons and children of all ages. Amen? You say, well, why is that in there? To tell us how the world began, what started everything in the world. And in Noah's time, this is very important. In Noah's time, how many gods were there? One, right? Adam and Eve, how many gods were with Adam and Eve? One. So he only had one God. Noah had one God. Their children had one God because they were with their father. But as they started to spread out and started to move out, things started to change. They began to have their own ideas. Anybody understand what that is? They began to have their own language, their own ways of talking. Anybody ever been to the Bronx in New York, Fred? You cross the river to Brooklyn, you think those people came from another country. They're speaking the same language, but they're using different words, amen? You understand what I'm saying? I was on the road, and I was in Arkansas. Beautiful state. I went into Little Rock, and I went into a gas station delis. I'm telling you, I remember to this day, I couldn't understand one word that girl was saying to me. It sounded really nice, but I had no... She was speaking English! So these families started spreading out and talking, and stories started to get spreading. And let's read this. I'm going to read chapter 11. This is so interesting about history. Amen? And history in the Bible and our lives. How this in Genesis chapter 11 affects our lives and teaches us things today. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. How many? Hallelujah. Because they all came from the same family. Now they probably had different slang like they do in Tennessee. My wife says fixing to get ready means you're getting ready. And a hose pipe. Anybody know what a hose pipe is? Hose pipe. You got a hose pipe. We call it a garden hose. She said, we don't got no garden. It's called a hose pipe. And that's what you go to Tennessee and ask for a garden hose. They don't talk to you. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Now understand these descendants, all that I mentioned, these are all descendants that started the Hebrew nation, Chaldeans, the Assyrians, Egyptians, Philistines. These are where they all began, from children of children of children. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. That they had bricks for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. And they said, let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Now, is that not self or what? They're talking about Pat making something to make them heroes, to make them great. We're going to make this tower, and we're going to make it so high, and we're going to be great. When people see it, they will think we're great instead of who? Hallelujah, you're with me. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do? Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. He is saying, they're going to do this, and nothing they propose to do, everybody will know, and they will become greater in their own eyes, and their self will become greater, and their pride will become greater. And he said, and I love this, this is very interesting. This is a great Bible study. He says, come, let us go down there and confuse their language. Let me read that again, because I think, and the us is a capital U. It says, come, let us go down there and confuse their language. When the us is a capital U, Lisa, you know who that is? Jesus. God is saying to Jesus, let's go! You and me down there, and we're going to confuse. He said, let us go down there. I love that. If people miss that one little word with the capital U, that simply means Jesus. See, he's telling, come on, Jesus, we're going to go down. And we're going to confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from over here and over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city because they couldn't even understand each other. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Over the face of where? Now, there's languages fall into a few large families. If you study and look up languages, within the families, resemblances are apparent and have developed. Amen. Understand all these different languages. Some of them you sound familiar. If you go like to Japan and China, it sounds similar. Amen. If you go to South America, any of those countries, it's different but similar. Different languages. Amen. Different words for things. Different phrases for things. That's why we no longer have one God. You see? Things got passed down, and in different languages, God got called other things. People started worshiping other things. And when one person started worshiping it, some of the other groups said, well, that was, must be we do in our homeland. We start to worship that. Things changed. From Adam and Eve to Noah, they had one God, and now there's many gods because the languages are different. People are speaking different. So that's why there's different names for God, different stories. How many ever heard of the flood? We talked about Noah. You know about the flood. Do you know the Egyptians have another story for the flood? Look it up. It's different. The Chinese have a different story for the great flood. All the other countries in the world have a story about the great flood. They just don't mention Noah. They mention a man and his children. They saved the world. Other people mention the same sort of thing, and the great waters came down and flooded their land. But it's different. Why is it different? Because now they have a different language, and they have different teachers and different people talking to them, like different traditions. Our God in Adam's time, Noah came with one God, and that's what changed in the world. Anybody ever... You know, thousands of years, stories change. But what was that game that I tried to think of the name? When you have a lot of kids and you whisper something in one kid's ear and it goes down to the end. You know, you talk about, I have three dogs and two ponies and this and that. And you give it to the next kid and he has to say the next thing. By the end of that story, has nothing to do with dogs and cats. It's about some other thing. That's what's happened in the world, see? That's, people have passed down through generations their ideas of God, their ideas of worshiping God, their what to do, and that's how the country, and that's how the world has become the way it is, you see? You see what God's hand has done? That's why we come together again. We go from there right back here to the Bible. To what? So we know what God is saying, so that we come together in unity, in one voice, amen? One voice, even as James is leaving, I'm thinking he's going, even Indians, the Indians of all the lands had a different language. They believed in different gods. They worshiped the god of harvest. They worshiped the god of sun. They prayed to the god for rain. Different gods. You see how traditions begin. You see how things can change. That's why the world is where it is today. That's why we need to bring the world back to one God, the way it started in the days of Noah. Can I get an amen? Now, there was a fella in the days and times of God. His name was Abraham. Anybody ever hear of Abraham? Hallelujah. Anybody think that Abraham was perfect? God chose Abraham to be the father of all nations, Sergio. He must have been a great man. He must have been above reproach. He must have treated people with dignity. He must have never lied. He must have been the greatest man that ever lived. He was just like you and me, Kim. He was no different, except that he heard God's voice. Genesis 12, now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, and make you a name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I love this, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How many? All the families, that includes us. Last time I looked, we're part of all. So what's he tell Abraham to do? This is pretty cool. He said, get away from your country, from your family. That's what it's. And who else? From your father's house. Now, to a land that I will show you. Was his father evil? We don't know. We know that his father was an idolater. We know that he worshipped idols. But he knew that if Abraham, and this is the part I love, I said it earlier, I gave it away. Abraham stayed in his comfort zone, nothing great was going to happen. So he tells Abraham to get out of your what? Your comfort zone. You like it here, don't you? You got this, and you got the family, and you got the thing, and you're feeling pretty good about yourself. He's saying, I want to do great things in your life. Gene and Walter, he's saying, I want to do great things in your life, but you need to get out of your comfort zone so I can do that for you. Because you're set, you got this, and you praise me one way, and you love me one way, but I want you to love me in a greater way. I want you to see my love. So the only way that you can see your love is to get out of your comfort zone. Get out of the things that hold you down, because God's got a greater plan even for Fred. Yes, it's true. Thank you, Lord. I will bless those who bless you. That's us. God is blessing us. I will curse him who curses you. I love this. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Hallelujah. What a great guy. Abraham, the father of all our nations. Now there was a famine in the land. And Abram, by the way, he's called Abram in the beginning. Abraham went down to Egypt to dwell there. For the famine was severe in the land. Are you with me? And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife. This is Abraham. Amen. Listen to what he says to his wife. Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. And Abraham says, please say you are my sister, that it may be well with you for me, for your sake, and that I may live because of you. What did he just tell her to do? How could he do that? He's the father of all our nations. But he's telling his wife to lie. Not only did they tell her, but they do it. Listen, so it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw that the woman, and she was very beautiful. Sarah must have been very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commanded her to Pharaoh. They took her because she was his sister, and they brought her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to the Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys and camels. Look at what he got with that lie. Look at, oh, this is pretty good. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this that you have done to me? Why did you tell me that she was, why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? Listen to what he said. I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go away. So the Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all he had. Why did Abraham tell that story about, tell me, because this is what we do every day. Why did he not believe God? And why did he tell those stories? Because he was first afraid. Amen. Because he was worried, Pat, that God isn't going to do it. He has to do something to help God. I'm telling you, that must crack up people. God must say, stop trying to help me. Every time you try to help me, I got to fix that before I continue. He was afraid because he had lack of faith. A man who talked to God, his faith. So you might say today, well, I haven't really heard God's voice and I don't talk to him much. So it might be easier for you to be afraid or have lack of faith. But understand what God had told Abraham. This man of faith. Great things he was going to do. And yet there he was, afraid. He lied because he didn't trust God. Amen. Well, God intervened. And let me tell you how many times in your life you don't even know when God intervened and stopped you from doing what you shouldn't do. Or put a wall up, George, to stop you from saying something you shouldn't have said. Or did held you back from making mistakes like that because he intervened. And why does God intervene in our lives? Because he loves us. He loves us. He loves us. He knows that we love him and he loves us. Hallelujah. I want to see if you see the similarity to this. Hallelujah. Said, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Eliezer was his servant. Understand how it is in those days that your heir is your family. But he said he had no family, and his closest person was his trusted servant. He said, he's the only heir of my house. Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. The word of who? Look, stay with me now. This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now towards heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Us. That's us. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Hallelujah. Who did God talk to? Abraham. What did he tell Abraham? You're going to have a child. It's going to be your child. You got to be patient. trust me. You got to trust him. Now, God spoke to him. Did God speak to his wife? There's a story earlier in the Bible, sort of like that, that God spoke to one and not the other. 16, this is chapter 16, now listen. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, his maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abraham, to be his wife, after Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarai said to Abraham, "My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me." So Abraham said to Sarai, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring of the way of Shur. And he said, listen to what he says, because this is history. This is so important, especially today. "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" Of course he knew, but he wanted her to say. She said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, listen to what he said, "Behold, you are with a child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. Ishmael shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man." Against who? It's important to understand what he's saying. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Hallelujah. How's that story similar to, can you put it together with a story that a little earlier in the Bible? You remember the story? What did God tell Adam? "You can't eat." No, never mind, Fred. I know he's good back there. "You can't eat from this tree," right? So Adam knew better, amen? Adam knew. So when Eve, what did God tell Eve? Nothing. He left Adam to tell her and teach her. So when Eve said, "Eat from that tree," Adam should have what? Known better, amen? But he didn't. Just like Abraham, God spoke to Abraham saying, "You're going to have a child. You have to be patient. It's going to come from you. Not your maidservant," because that, you see, man and God accepted things different. You ever notice that in the Bible, that Solomon had thousands of wives and all that? And it was, well, that's what they allowed. No, that's what man did. God did not allow that. That wasn't God's way. That was man's way. You see how man messed things up? I don't mean to pick on us men, but amen. You understand? And there was Abraham. He should have known when she said to go and do that. No, it is not the right thing to do. God told me no. But he did it anyway. And Ishmael was born. Let me read again what it said about him. "Because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. He shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord visited Sarah, and he had said, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. At God's timing. Can you say that with me, church? God's timing. We always want it on our timing, but if we wait for God, oh, how beautiful. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah born to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him, and Sarah said, "God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me." She also said, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age." So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. picking on him, just doing things. And then she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. Can you imagine what Abraham was feeling? That was still his son. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you to do, listen to her voice. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman because he is your seed. So Abraham rose early in the morning, took the bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it to the boy and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba, and the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot, for she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise and lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. I will make him a what? A great nation. Then God opened her eyes and saw the well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave it to the lad to drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. Anybody ever hear the expression separation of church and state? That's something we do in America. Separation of church and state. It doesn't say separation of church from state. That's been taken out of context, amen? They say, no, we're separation. Well, let me tell you something very serious about this and why you're seeing in Israel today and the things you're seeing in the land. If you read about Ishmael, Ishmael's father was Abraham. He had a choice. He still have a choice. But understand that some nations do not separate church and state. In fact, some nations, it's God, their God, above all things, what they believe, above all things. And there shall be no peace between the nations as long as that lives, because one wants peace and one wants to dominate. The God of Ishmael wants to dominate, wants to be over us. Our God does not control us. Understand the difference. The God of the Bible over the God of Ishmael does not try to control us. He does not put us under bondage of laws. His love is a guide for all of us to follow. How many? Oh, it's a new life, a changed life. Every day, each day makes it way for us to do better, for us to do better. And this is what he asks of us, to love him. Understand what you're seeing in the world today is Bible. It's real Bible stuff. You're seeing a land where they worship a God who demands that you follow him, demands that you do what he says, demands that you act like he does, or else. Amen? Our God doesn't demand anything from us. Our God yearns for us to love him, for us to follow him, for that he can lead us down ways that we're all blessed, all of us blessed, because we follow Jesus in the Bible. Amen? Then one of the scribes came, and having heard him reasoning together, perceived that he had answered them well, and asked Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? This is Jesus' commandment. The first of all commandments, hear, O Israel. Hear, second congregation, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. How many? And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these, to love each other. Understand that this book is a history book. It teaches you why things are happening in the world today. It teaches you how we can have so many different religions, how we can have so many different gods, because so many different people have so many traditions that have gotten in the way of God, and it just gets more and more confusing. That's why we need to come closer to God. That's why you need to be in this church with us as we read the word together and come in unity and building a body together in the name of Jesus. This house is built on Jesus, one God, because he loved us, because we are in his mercy. We want to be in his grace, and we want to find favor with God to bless all the world in God's name. Give him praise, church. Hallelujah. about something new. Then lift people up today. Tell people, get up, start over again. Let's get up, let's do it. I don't use the same words you used yesterday. Use new words. Have a new attitude. Do something new today. Let go. Get out of our comfort zones, all of us, so we can do great things for God. We have the chores. We have the building. We have the property. We should be doing great things for God. Let's do it. Let God. I saw miracles this week. I thank Marilyn for making that one phone call. Could have saved all our lives. Hallelujah. I just see it that way. Do something different today. Forgetting the things of old. Forgetting the old arguments. Stop saying the same thing. Do something new today. Start new today. Say, Lord, help me. I need to be better. I need to shine. I need to lift up people around me. Do that today. God wants us to do great things. You're called to do great things. That's the God that we love, the God that we worship. There is nothing impossible with God. You got to believe that. Give him praise, church. Hallelujah. Good job.